Today's shir is Masech Debeya, Daf Yudalad, and we're going to begin on Daf Yudalad, Amar Aleph, at the Mishnah on top of the Amid, four lines from the top. The Mishnah continues discussing the halachas, what may and may not be done on Yontif. Says Beis Shammai, I'm tavlin the doichim b'modach shalaitz. Spices, if you want to grind them on Yontif, one must use a wood grinder. V'amelech, salt, b'pach, either an earthenware utensil, or the Eitz HaPar, the Mefarshim explained, means a wooden mixing spoon. B'Sil Oimrim, Tavlin Nidochim Kedarkon, spices could be ground in their normal fashion, B'Modach Shaleven, with a stone grinder. And just to make a point, and we'll discuss it perhaps later, what does B'Sil have to say, Tavlin Nidochim Kedarkon, that's done the normal way, B'Modach Shaleven? Once we establish that it's kedarkan, so you could do anything you want. Why does the Mishnah have to specify b'modach shalevin? V'melech, salt b'modach shaleitz with a wood grinder. So just to summarize what the Mishnah is teaching us, according to Beis Shammai, both salt and spices should not be ground the same way on Yontif as they are during the week. However, Beis Shammai agrees that the shinui that's required for spices is less than the shinui that's required for salt. Salt needs more of a shinui. And Beis Hillel hold that spices require no shinui, and salt requires that minor shinui. Machloikis, when we say here that according to Beis Shammai, we use a minor shinui for spices, which is the shinui Beis Hillel uses for salt, does that mean that it's so much of a shinui that we know on Shabbos, if one does a malacha with a shinui, he's not chayim midraisa, he's only chayim midrabbanim? Is this so significant of a shinui that he'd be chayiv, that he'd be potter midraisa on Shabbos? Or it's perhaps so insignificant of a shinui that you can't say that's called kalach yad, and if one were to grind spices with a wood grinder on Shabbos, he'd still be chayiv midraisa? Another shaila that the Rishonim and the Achronim already discussed, and actually there's a machlokes about, is we're saying that salt we need a shinui according to everyone. Spices, Beis Shammai says, we need a shinui. What does that mean? Does that mean that l'chatchila we could do it on Yontif as long as we have a shinui? Or does that mean that the Mishnah is saying, really, you should grind everything, according to Beis Shammai, everything according to Beis Hillel, salt, before Yontif? If you didn't grind before Yontif, then we allow you to grind on Yontif, provided you use a shinui. Is that al-chatchila that you should grind with a shinui, or is it only a b'di'evit situation? Machlokes Rishonim and Achronim. There's a very fundamental question that the Mefarshim discuss as we get into the sugya. There's a Tosfos on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosfos on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph says that although we've been learning and will continue to learn, Be'ezer Hashem, that the lam, that oichel nefesh is mutter on Yontif, that heter doesn't apply to all lamates malachas. It only applies to the malachas from the list of the lamates malachas in Masechta Shabbos and Paraklal Gadol, from the malacha of Lisha, of Lush and on. Any malacha that's listed prior to that, there is no heter of Eichel Nefesh. Now if we look at Tchina, it's listed before Lush. So how can we start discussing under what circumstances we may or may not grind items on Yontif? Tchina appears before Elisha. Gevaldige kasha. The Pnei Yeshua is very bothered with this question. He attempts to say some terutzim, which I'm not sure are halachically acceptable. One terutz he wants to say that there are two concepts. There's a concept of oichel nefesh, and there's a concept of melacha. Something that's pure oichel nefesh is always mutter. That's not what Tosfos seems to be saying. Another terutz he wants to say is that since, let's explain according to Beis Hillel, spices. Since spices are edible without grinding, there is no iser teichin on something that you could eat anyway. When is there a malacha of teichin? If the only way you could use it if you grind it, which I don't know if that's halachically the din. But I think if you would grind something, even if you could eat it without grinding, there would be an iser. So the Pnei Yeshua does say a teretz. He says the following teretz. He says, what is the definition of teichin? The definition of teichin, he says, is that you grind to put the item you're grinding away for a while. But if one were to grind, and his intent were that it should only that it should be used immediately, that's not teichen. The discussion that we're having here is about something that's being ground to be used, eaten immediately. And therefore, that doesn't fall under the category of teichen, and therefore, Tosfos' rule would not apply to the situation. But the question that we need to understand as we get into the sugya is that if, as we just explained, there is no malach of teichen here, why isn't the rule of oichel nefesh applicable here? So, the Shittim Kibetzis takes an approach. We're not going to learn the Gemara with that approach, but I'll just tell you what he says. He takes an approach that this is not called oichel nefesh. This is called machshirei oichel nefesh. Because it's not something that's actually used in the food. It could have easily been, it just helped you prepare food. It could have been prepared before Yontif, and that's why it's called machshirei oichel nefesh. That's the approach the Shita takes. Somewhat of a difficult approach. We're going to follow the Ran's approach, that Tzlach learns the whole sugya with the Ran. The Ran says, of course, grinding these materials fall under the category of oichel nefesh. But given that these are materials that are very commonly ground and stored, so Chazal said that we should not grind them because we're afraid you're going to store them and you're going to end up grinding on Yontif for after Yontif, which we know is certainly prohibited. That's why Chazal said don't grind. Says the Gemara, the kula alma mias melech b'yishinui. Everybody agrees when learning the Mishnah, whether even if we have a machlokes regarding spices, there is no machlokes regarding salt. Everybody agrees that when grinding salt, you have to make a shinui. My tama, why? Says the Gemara, Hunar of Chizda, machlokes of Hunar of Chizda. Chara makolam gederis kulan tzricha melech. Whenever you cook, you need to use salt. However, in kol gederis tzrichas tavon. Not every spice is needed, or for every food is a specific spice required. So, before Yontif, I knew I'm going to need salt, so I should have prepared it. I didn't know I'm going to need this spice before Yontif. That's why if I didn't prepare it, I have a right, according to Beis Hillel, to grind it in Yontif. V'charama, another one explains it this way. Kola tavlinin mefig and tamin. Spices lose their strength, their taste. That's why we allow you to grind them on Yontif. Melech ena mefig and tamin. Salt doesn't lose its taste. Grind it before Yontif. Ask the Gemara Mai B'nai, what's the practical difference between these two approaches? Ikke B'nai, the Yodah Mai K'dei Reboi L'Vashuli. You knew what you're preparing on Yontif. So you can't say, I didn't know what spice I'm going to need. You had your menu prepared. Inami, another difference, but Marika. Marika is a spice called saffron. This spice does not dissipate. So what are we saying? The concern is that the spice, if you'll grind it before Yontif, it'll dissipate. Here we have no reason to be concerned that it'll dissipate, and you should have ground it before Yontif. But if the reason is because you didn't know what you're going to use, then you could even grind saffron. And now we could understand, said the Mefarshim, the language of Beis Hillel in the Mishnah. Tavlin nedoichen kedarkon. You're allowed to grind all tavlin. Why kedarkon? Because the derech is that you only know what spice you're going to use on Yontif. That's why, Madach Shalev, you could even use a stone grinder, because we had no way of telling you to grind it before Yontif. And Tosfos says, based on this Gemara, something like garlic certainly could be ground on Yontif. He says two reasons. Number one, garlic certainly loses its sharpness if you leave it overnight before you use it. And also he says, the Gemara Masechta Nida says that you're not allowed to leave garlic overnight. So it's a sakana. Another place that I saw the Paiskim use this concept is regarding grinding potatoes. You want to make a potato kugel. We know that if you grind potatoes and you leave them, they get black, they lose their color and their taste. So certainly you're allowed to grind potatoes in a regular fashion on Yontif. I actually saw an interesting tshuva from the Oz Nidru regarding potatoes. He says, if somebody uses a grater to grate potatoes on Yontif, it's anyway a shinui. Because everybody during the week uses a food processor. So a grater is already a shinui. So Tosfos says, but then Tosfos ends off, he says, avoiding grinding on Yontif is very preferable. And there's a very interesting language that Tosfos uses at the end of the Tosfos Ikvenayu. He says, V'amachmel adoichem erev Yontif. If somebody is careful to grind everything from Erev Yantif, Harbe B'yachad, he grinds everything before together, he's Baruch Velakim B'Shem Yuchad. Tosfos gives him a bracha, which is very rare. Tosfos is not, Tosfos explains the Gemara. He doesn't give brachas. What's Tosfos saying here? So I saw a very nice pshat. We say every day by davening, we say the Perek and Tilam Natsech B'Meginois, we say Elokim Yuchanenu V'Yivorchenu. What's pshat? We know that the Shem Hashem of Yudkei Vavkei represents Midas Harachmim. Elokim represents Midas Hadin. So we say, Elokim, if the Midas Hadin agrees that we should be blessed, that we know Yuchanenu V'Yivorchenu, that we will be blessed because there's nobody standing in the way, even the Midas Hadin agrees. Says Tosfos, if somebody is machmer, even though we're going to learn under many circumstances, you may grind on Yontif. If somebody is machma, l'doichim erev Yontif, to grind everything from erev Yontif, so we're dealing with an individual who goes l'fnim mishuras adin, then yizbarach balakim, then alakim, the midas adin will agree that he deserves bracha, and such a bracha lasts. Nobody can argue with that bracha. Just to discuss for a moment more halachas regarding grinding, one halacha is that anything that was already ground may be reground. The question comes up by matzah. Are you allowed to grind matzah on Pesach? So since matzah begins with flour, which is a food that was ground, you're allowed to grind matzahs. What about grinding coffee? Grinding coffee, the Shaar Tshuva discusses, and he says that l'chatchila one should grind coffee from before Yontif. Others say you could grind on Yontif. It really depends if the taste of the coffee gets affected by being ground from before Yontif. A similar shaila comes up with grinding maror. It's Pesach by night. You didn't prepare the maror before Yontif. So are you allowed to grind the maror on Yontif? Many Pesachim hold that you are allowed to grind the maror on Yontif. And again, the reason being because it would lose its sharpness if you grind it earlier. Mishnah Berurah says the l'chatchila, if somebody grinds maror on Yontif, you should do it with a shinui. A minor shinui is adequate. He says if you turn over the plate in which you grind it to, that's already a shinui, and you could grind it on Yontif. Amar Bihuda Mishmul. Kol andochem d'dochem k'darkon. Everything that's ground can be ground even in the normal fashion. Vafilu melech, even salt. Ask the Gemara. V'amrit, we just finished saying the melech boi shinui, that salt requires a shinui. Says the Gemara, Huda Amakai Tana. He has a different version. The Tanya Amar Ameya. Lo'inechuku be'sham be'is hilal anu doichim shun doichim kedarkon. Imam. That all spices can be ground in normal fashion. And if you're grinding spices, you could grind salt with it. So the Tzlach asks, why does it make a difference? If salt you're not allowed to grind in a normal fashion, what's the difference if you're grinding it together with spices or not with spices? If it's mutter, it's mutter, it's asr, it's asr. So first of all, there's a machlokes ha'achroinim, what does it mean grinding salt with spices? So the Mishnah Berurah says, it means that you have to have the salt mixed in together with the spices. The Marshal says, it doesn't mean together, it means that you do the salt right after you grind the spices. So it explains the Tzlach, according to the way we're learning the Gemara, it's beautiful. What's the concern? The concern is that if you grind salt, and a person always needs salt, you're going to grind even for after Yontif. But here you're grinding it together with the spices. Spices people don't grind a lot of. So that will prevent you and remind you not to grind a lot of salt either. Machlokes says, can salt be ground by itself? You have to make a shinui when you grind salt. Either use an earthenware keli or a serving spoon, litzli, and also if you're grinding only to when you're roasting the meat, because as we explained, you could kasha meat either by roasting it. When you kasha meat for roasting, you really don't need to salt it. The amount of salt that's put on is not significant. Avloy l'kdeira. But if you're cooking the meat, you need a lot of salt. That much salt, Beis Shem doesn't lack. Beis Hillel says you could grind salt with every utensil you want. Ask the Gemara B'chol Dover, Sal Kedaitach, are you allowed to use any utensil? Are you allowed to use a muksi utensil? Says the Gemara, Ela Eim L'chol Dover. You're allowed to do it for any purpose. So according to this version of Beis Hillel, you're allowed to grind salt without a shinui at all. So again, the Tzlach asks, what's the difference according to Beis Shammai if you're grinding at the Tzli or the Kedera? If you tell me there's a difference that you do with a shinui, I can understand. But what's the difference if you're grinding a lot or a little? So he says, very geschmack, according to the way we're understanding the Gemara. If you're only grinding a little, because you know you only need it for roasted meat, so you're not grinding a lot, then you won't grind for after Yontif. But if you're grinding Legadeira, so you're grinding a lot, so once you're grinding a lot, we're concerned that you may continue grinding even for salt that you don't need for Yontif. Before we go further, the Pais can discuss if the salt that we have nowadays, actually it's never very relevant because the salt we get is pretty granulated, but let's say you had a clump of salt, would there be an issue of grinding salt in Yontif? And the Paiskim say, Shlomo Zalman Orbach says this, that the salt that we have now is already considered ground in the processing, and it's considered something like we spoke about before, that if something was ground once, you could grind it a second time in Yontif. Amalei Rav Acha Bardel Lebrei. Rav Acha Bardel has told his son, Kol Daichlis Atzli Tzlui V'Daich. Even when you grind salt, and even though we just learned that when you grind salt, we really don't need to make a shinui, make a minor shinui. What's the minor shinui? Tilt the plate that you're grinding it on. Says the Gemara, Shesh Shama Kol Buchna. He heard the sound of grinding. Ama Hailab Megavoy De Beisihu. It's not coming from my home. Says the Gemara, V'dim Atzli Atzli. How does he know they're not grinding? Maybe they're grinding, but they put it on its slant. And we just learned that if you put it on a tilt, everybody agrees you could grind salt. Says the Gemara, David Solokoili. It was very clear. If the plate were on a slant, the sound of grinding would not be that perfect. Says we have a Dilma Tavlin Hava. Maybe he was grinding spices. And spices, we just finished learning that no shinu is required. Says the Gemara, when you grind spices, Tavlin Nevuchim in African Kalayu. They don't have a clear sound because spices have seeds. And the seeds, when they crack, don't have a clear sound. So he knew he wasn't grinding spices. He was grinding salt, and it was too clear of a sound that it should have been done with any shinui. And Rav Shlomo Zalman explains the Gemara very nicely. He says, we know that Rav Sheshes was a saginor, he was blind. We also know that if somebody is blind, if he loses his sense of sight, his sense of hearing improves. That's why he was able to discern that exactly what kind of grinding was taking place. Tana Rabbanan teaches us a brisa, Einois and Tisni. Tisni was a dish that was made out of cutting or cracking kernels of wheat into four. Then Koichim Mechteshes, you're not allowed to grind. Ask the Gemara Tarti. And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, the question is like this. Once we learn that you're not allowed to grind, Ein Koichim Mechteshes, so obviously you can't make Tisni, because Tisni requires grinding. Says the Gemara Hochkama. The way to understand the Brice is as follows. Ma tam einois in tisni. Why may tisni not be prepared on Yontif? Lefish ain't kach mechteshes. Since you're not allowed to use a grinder, and tisni requires using a grinder, so that's why we can't have tisni made on Yontif. Says the Gemara, so just let's say, v'leim ain't kach mechteshes. That we're not allowed to use a grinder on Yontif. Answers the Gemara. Itani ain't kach mechteshes. If we would have only said you're not allowed to use a grinder, have aminahan imilu mechteshes gedoyle. What kind of grinder may not be used? A large grinder. Avol, the Machteshes Ketana, a small grinder, a Meshapadami, may be used, Kamash Milan, that you're not allowed to use any grinder. And that's why the Braisa had to say it explicitly. That you, otherwise we would have thought you may use a small grinder. Ask them whether that is the din. For Tanya and Kachem Machteshes Gedoyla, you're not allowed to use a large grinder. Avol Kachem Machteshes Ketana, you're allowed to use a small grinder. So Abaya has a different interpretation of the Braisa. Om Rabaya, Ki Tanya Nami Masnisen, Machteshes Gedoyla Tanya. The Braisa saying is indeed talking about a big grinder. And the way to understand the Braisa is as follows, according to Abaya. Tisni can never be prepared on Yontif, whether you're using a big grinder or a small grinder. Not Tisni, other foods. A large grinder, a Machteshes Gedoyla, may not be used. A Machteshes Ketana may be used. Rav Amma, Rav has a different way of understanding. Halahon, v'halahu. Rav goes back to his original interpretation. We're not allowed to make tisni. And you're not allowed to use any grinder. But it depends where. In Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to use any grinder. In Chutz Laretz, you're not allowed to use a large grinder, but a small grinder may be used. What's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz? So there are a number of Peshatim and the Rishonim. Rashi explains, the people in Eretz Yisrael were wealthy, so they had servants. So the servants will be told, you're not allowed to use the large grinder, but you can't trust them. They'll use the large grinder, so he said you're not allowed to use any grinder. The people in Chutz Laretz didn't have servants. They themselves would be careful only to use a large grinder, a small grinder, not a large grinder. Another pshat, the Rambam's pshat, is that the wheat in Eretz Yisrael is better than the wheat in Chutz Laretz. So the wheat in Eretz Yisrael, they'll, even if you grind it from Erev Yontif, it'll be fine on Yontif. So that's why you're not allowed to grind it on Yontif. The wheat in Chutz Laretz, however, is poor quality. So if you're going to grind it before Yontif and use it on Yontif, it won't have the right taste. A third pshat that I saw, there are many pshatim in the Rishonim, I'll just say one more. In Chutz Laretz, they ate a lot of this tisni. They ate a lot of these wheat-based foods. So usually they use the machteshes gedoyla. So when we tell you, you can't use a machteshes gedoyla, only use a machteshes katana, that's a shinui. In Eretz Yisrael, they never ate a lot of these foods. So they always used only machteshes katana. So there's no shinui that's possible, that's why we had to prohibit all machteshes. Says the Gemara, Rapapa ikla bei Mar Shmuel. Rapapa came to Mar Shmuel's home. Isolei daisa v'lo yochel. They gave him this daisa and he refused to eat it. Asked the Gemara v'dil machteshes katana avduah. Maybe it was made in a machteshes katana. A machteshes katana was saying it's permissible. Says the Gemara, d'chazi davadayik tfei. He saw that it was very well ground, so they must have used the machteshes gedoyla. Says the Gemara v'dil machteshes avduah. Maybe it was prepared from Erev Yontif. The chazya davakol of tzare. He saw that the wheat was glowing, was fresh. So obviously it was ground today, not before. Vibay seima, shani beimar shmul. He was concerned, dikka besusa da avdi. That even though it was in bavel, again we're going to learn the way Rashi learns, and above all, most people did not have servants. He had servants, and he was concerned that mar shmul's servants were told to use machteshes katana, but actually used a machteshes gedoyla. So there's a number of points that could be extrapolated from this Gemara, Lalok Lamaisa. From here we see that if someone has servants, and he trusts the servants, it's fine. In other words, we only find the Rapapi was careful. This is the way the Chassam Soif explains the Gemara. We only find the Rapapi refused to eat it. What about Shmuel? Shmuel ate it. The servants prepared it. He trusted the servants, and if he trusted the servants, he could eat. So we see from here, says the Chassam Soif, that let's say there's somebody. I trust that individual, and another person doesn't trust the individual. I could eat, and the person who doesn't trust can't eat. Although the Mefarshim say that anyway Rapapi was being machmer, because the halacha is that if something is prepared for you, for me, and it was prepared by Isser, and it wasn't prepared for you, you could eat it anyway. So even if the servants did the wrong thing, and they used the machteshes gedoyla, only Shmuel wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Rapapi wasn't a member of this household. He could have eaten it anyway. He was machmer. The Mishnah Brewer says that we're not certain what's called a machteshes gedoyla or a machteshes katana, so we should treat all grinders as a machteshes. However, says the Mishnah Brewer, in the Bi'er Halacha, that's only a grinder. So I can't say, I don't know what's a machteshes gedoyla, what's a machteshes katana. But let's say a certain food item is always ground with a particular type of equipment. And Yontif, I use something else, that is certainly permissible because it's no less of a shinui than machteshes katana. The Mishnah continues. We know that on Shabbos, one of the malachas we're not allowed to do on Shabbos is by separating good from bad. The halacha is always psalms mitoch eichel. The only way we're allowed to do bayur on Shabbos is if you take the oichel from the psoilus, you take the food out of the non-food, we do it for immediately, lechel miyad, and we don't use a keli, we don't use any vessel to help us. Ramashi says in the Tshuvas, what's called la'alter, what's called immediately, you know, we can't expect a person in the middle of the meal to have to do it, so he says that the amount of time the person already begins preparing the meal, let's say someone who has a guest, so from when they're starting to prepare the meal, that's already called la'alter. It begins our Mishnah discussing bayur on yontif. Habayur kitnis b'yontif, bayur v'oichel, v'oichel. So according to Beis Hillel, we only could do bayur on yontif the way we do it on Shabbos. Beis Hillel, bayur k'darkoi, we could Dibayru in the normal fashion, we could take Oichel Mitoch Psoilus, Psoilus Mitoch Oichel. Bechekoi, you could do a larger amount, the amount fits in your lap. Bekanon Betamchoi, we explained this yesterday, Kanon is a funnel, Tamchoi is a large plate. Avaloi Betavlo is a board. Loi Benafa, Loi Bekavro, these are different types of sieve. Why are you not allowed to use these kalim? If according to Beis Hillel, Boirur is Mutter on Yontif. From a Farshim explain, going back to something that we spoke about earlier, since we're concerned that if you're going to use these type of equipment, you're going to be Boirur a large amount, and you'll end up being Boirur on Yontif for after Yontif, or for the next day of Yontif, which even Beis Hillel holds as Asur, that's why they limited us with what we may do Boirur. You could put something into water and the non-usable part will either float to the top or to the bottom, as we'll see in the Gemara. Tanya Amram Gamliel. The Medva Mamurim, when did Beis Hillel say that Boyer is permissible? When there's more food than Psoilus. Av Psoilus Mrubal Oichel. If there's more Psoilus, their food, the Rehakol, even Beis Hillel will agree that we can't touch the Psoilus. Why? Some way most Rishonim learn that since there's more Psoilus, and Psoilus is Muksa, so that's why we're not allowed to touch this, we can only touch the food. The Rehakol Neutel Sa'oichel, you can only touch the food of Menech's Psoilus. So again, to understand the Gemara, even though Beis Hillel and our Mishnah taught us that in Yontif, one could do either way, Psoilus out of the oichel, oichel out of the psoilus, that's only when there's more oichel than psoilus. But if there's more psoilus than oichel, so the oichel becomes bottle in the psoilus, because the psoilus is the majority, and that's why it may not be, the only thing I could take is the oichel. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. There are many Rishonim that disagree with that approach. They say the oichel is a davar chashuv, specifically when you're comparing it to the psoilus. So how can we say, they say, that if the psoilus is more than the oichel becomes bottle to the psoilus. How does the davar chashuv become bottle to something which is not chashuv? So therefore their approach in the Gemara is that you're allowed to, that since there's more psoilus than oichel, if you're going to start being boyer the psoilus, it's too much of a tircha, and that's why Chazal said you may not do it. Av psoilus merubal oichel, the Rehakol, even Beis Hillel will agree, Neutelus Oichel, only can remove the Oichel, or Menayich is a Psoilus, and leave the Psoilus. Ask the Gemara, Psoilus Merubal Oichel, Man, Mika, Man, Deshari. What's the Gemara's Havamina? Of course, if there's more Psoilus than Oichel, how could you do it? As we just explained, it becomes bottle, it's all Muksa, and should not be allowed to do it. Answers the Gemara, Letzricha, the Nafesh, Betircha, Vizoti, Beshurai. That means like this. Sometimes, if you look at it quantitatively, there's more oichel than psoilus. But taking out the oichel may be more bothersome than taking out the psoilus, and sometimes it's vice versa. So what Beis Hillel is telling us, that if we have a situation where there's more oichel, but it's harder to take out there's more psoilus, but it's harder to take out the... No, I'm good, I correct myself. There's less psoilus, but it's easier to take out the oichel, because the oichel are larger pieces than the small psoilus. Then the halacha is we always want to do as little tircha as possible, and therefore the halacha is strictly take out the oichel, do not take out the psoilus, because we want to limit the amount of tircha to do on yontif. Interesting shaila that I saw from Ramosha. We speak about Boyer. He says, why are you allowed to wash fruit on Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai, even on Yontif? Why is that not called Boyer? You have the dirt on the fruit, and that's called the psoilus, and you're washing the psoilus off the Eichel. Why is it Asr? So Ramosha says a few reasons why it's Mutter. One, he says, is a simple answer. He says, since not everybody is careful to wash the fruit before they eat it, you can't call it psoilus. Psoilus is something that everybody considers psoilus. Peels or fish bones, that's the classical example of Boyer, when you're eating fish and taking the fish off the bone. But fruit, there are people that are not so careful to wash the fruit before they eat it, so it's not considered Boyer. But then Ramosha says, there are two different malachas. There's a malacha called Boyer, and there's a malacha called Rechitza. Boyer, as we're learning, is asr on Shabbos, and sometimes on Yontif, according to Beis Shammai, always on Yontif, according to Beis Hillel, under certain circumstances. On the other hand, Rechitza, washing, is not called Boyer, that's called washing. And he brings a beautiful raya. He says that the earliest Paiskim already discussed how you could wash plates on Shabbos. If washing a plate is called Bayer, if you're washing dirt off something, it's called Bayer. So how could there be a discussion how you could wash a plate? It must be that that's not called Bayer. And Gemuel Eimer, Af Mediach V'Shoyla. One could also soak something and let it float up. Tanya Rabbi Elazar at Tzadik, this was the custom of the Homer of Gamliel. They would bring a barrel full of water, a barrel full of beans, and they would fill it up with water. The food would sink to the bottom, and the non-wanted, the refuse would flow to the top. Ask the Gemara of Tanya Ibra. The other Brisa says that just the opposite. The food would flow to the top, and the refuse would go to the bottom. Answers the Gemara, Lekasha, Haba Afra, Haba Gili. It matters what the psoilus is. If the psoilus is sand, so sand is heavier than beans. Then the sand floats to the bottom, and the beans float to the top. If the refuse, on the other hand, is straw, straw is lighter than the beans. The straw will go to the bottom, and the beans will float to the top. No, I'm just opposite. The straw will float to the top, and the beans will float to the bottom. We're only allowed to sell on Yontif, one person to another, something that he could eat right away. A piece of meat that he could eat right away, or anything, fish, something that's immediately edible. We could send all of these different types of animals, even though they're certainly not immediately edible. If they're raw or they're not, or they're still alive. The Paiskim extrapolate from this Mishnah that the question is, what is considered acceptable for Sholach Manas? And many Paiskim say that for Sholach Manas, you can only send food that's already edible. If you send somebody a raw piece of meat, it's not Sholach Manas. From here we see not like that. Because how Mishnah calls even something chayin, a live animal, it's not edible, Manas. So they say that you could even send something not edible and be Mekayim Mitzvahs Sholach Manas. Meshach and Yayin Hashemana Misaltos could send wine, oil, flour, the kidneys, and beans. Avaloi Tfuah, but even Beis Hillel hold that you're not allowed to send Tfuah. Why? Because as we've been learning in this Masechta, Tfuah, grain, may not be ground on Yontif, so you're sending them an item that they have no use for on Yontif. Rav Shimon says matka b'tfuah. He says that you're even allowed to send tfuah. And when we learn the Gemara, we'll try to answer why does Rav Shimon have to say matka b'tfuah? He should have just said the Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to send tfuah. Rav Shimon matir. Why did the Mishnah have to add the word b'tfuah? Tarem chia ubavachli sena b'shura. Even Beis Hillel that holds that you're allowed to send a gift of various items on Yontif, you're not allowed to send b'shura. Shura means, says the Gemara Tana, ain't shura p'chus m'shlosh b'nei adam. It means three people. Why is the number three significant? So I saw a few pshatim. One pshat is simple, that when you have three people, it's af shemilsa. It's already a crowd, and it looks like you're doing business on Yontif. Another pshat that I saw is, when you have three people, it looks like you have a seller, a buyer, and a broker. That's why Chazal said that you shouldn't send something to somebody else with three people, because it looks like you're doing business on Yontif. Boy Ravashi, Tlosa Gavri v'Tlosa Mini Mai. You have three people, but each person is carrying some different type of food. Is it Osir or Mutter? And the Gemara says, Teku. The Gemara remains unresolved. So I saw a Shaila in the Shaila Sechuvah Spinyan Shloima. He asks, we just discussed this the other day, the halacha is, Just like we said, you're not allowed to do business in Yom Tov. You're not allowed to sell something in Yom Tov. But you're also not allowed to give a gift in Yom Tov. Because giving a gift in Yom Tov looks like Mekach u'Memkar. So he asks, how could we, even if we don't have three people, send from one person to another person a gift? Isn't it Osur on Yom Tov? So he says a very interesting answer. He says, when our Mishnah says that we're allowed to send a gift, whatever item you're allowed to, according to Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, according to Reb Shimon, whatever you're allowed to send, you're not allowed to actually deliver into the recipient's hands. Because that's also because of Mekach u'Memkar. What he says is you're allowed to deliver it to his house, put it down in his house, or put it down into his property, and then he'll pick it up. Delivering it directly into his hands would be also because of Mekach u'Memkar on Yom Tov. There's also an interesting Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim learn that when we say that these items, whatever each Tana holds, may or may not be given on Yom Tov, it's only when you're taking it from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid or vice versa. That even though, as we learned earlier, that you're allowed to carry in Yom Tov, so now the Mishnah is limiting what you're allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid or vice versa. But if you're carrying it within a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, then there's no limitations. That's how some Rishonim learn, as long as the item is not muks, obviously. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that the issues at hand don't make a difference if it's from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or within Rosh Hashanah Yochid. If it's mutter, it's mutter. If it's asur, it's asur. Rav Shimon matav tefuah. Rav Shimon says that you can even send tefuah, even though tefuah may not be ground on Yom Tov. Tanya Rav Shimon matav tefuah. Rav Shimon explains that you're allowed to send tefuah. Kigoy chitim lasen ludyos. There was some sort of a food that was made out of raw wheat. Soirim litel lefnei behamtoi. Barley was given to animals to eat, raw barley. Adashin and beans were made last memory season. Again, this is some type of food that's made out of raw beans. So Nanim Mefarshim explained Rav Shimon and the Mishnah. Rav Shimon matter. We said, when we learned the Mishnah, we asked, why did the Mishnah have to say Rav Shimon matter b'tfuah? It should have just said Rav Shimon matter. Answers the Gemara. Rav Shimon matter b'tfuah. You are allowed to send tfuah, but you're not allowed to send all tfuah. Conceptually, Rav Shimon agrees with Beis Hillel. A tfuah, a grain that has no use on Yom Tov, he'll agree you're not allowed to send. He says, but tfuah, only certain tfuah you're allowed to send. Which tfuah? The tfuah that people like, who eat ludyos, that eat this food that's made out of raw tfuah, therefore you're allowed to send tfuah. But let's say, in where you live, nobody eats any dish made out of raw tfuah, nobody eats any dish made out of raw beans, then Rav Shimon will agree with Beis Hillel that you're not allowed to send those items on Yom Tov. Says the Mishnah. Mishachim Kalim, you could send clothing, Bein Tfurim, Bein She'en Tfurim. Even if the clothing is not yet sewn, so it's now wearable, and in Yom Tov, obviously you're not allowed to sew it together, it's still awesome. Vav Bishesh Ben Klayim, and the Mishnah says you could even send it, even though it has Klayim, and we know you're not allowed to wear Shatnas. As long as Vahein Litzor Chamoyed, as they could be used on Yom Tov. And the obvious question we're going to learn is, if it's Klayim, how's it usable? Avloy Sandal Masunar, we can discuss it tomorrow, that there's a type of shoe that had spikes in it. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos discusses that you're not allowed to wear those shoes on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Loy Menel Shein Atofer, a shoe that isn't sewn together. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Loy Menel Loven, a white shoe may also not be sent on Yom Tov, Neshet Tzorech Umen. It requires still work. It can't be worn that way. Zeh Klal, says the Mishnah, this is the rule, Kol Shenoysen Bebe Yom Tov, anything that could be worn or used on Yom Tov, Mishalchan Oysoi, may be sent. I saw the place can discuss, is a husband allowed to give his wife a gift of jewelry on Yom Tov? And the halacha is he may, because the wife's going to wear it. Bishlama, says the Gemara, Tfurin Chaz Lamalbish. We could understand that clothing that's already sewn, it's wearable. Shein Tfurim, clothes that's not sewn together, Nami Chaz L'Ksuye, could be used to cover. El Klayim, what could Klayim be used for? V'chitem, one will say, Chaz L'Meimach to say, that one may sit on Klayim. You're not allowed to wear Klayim, but you could sit on Klayim. Ask the Gemara of Tanya, it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yalo Alecho, you're not allowed to wear Klayim. Aval Ata Aval ato yochol atzir tachteyacha. You're allowed to midaraisa sit on klein. Aval amr chachamim also lasses kain. You're not allowed to sit on klein. Why? Shema tichloy nimach abasoroi. We're concerned that let's say you have something made out of shatness, and you sit on it, and one of the threads unravels, and it ends up going on top of you, so you're covered by klayim. So what is the use of klayim that our Mishnah is teaching us? We're allowed to wear it, we're allowed to send it on Yontif. So v'chitayim, and perhaps you'll say, the mefsik bini beni beni, that between you and the klayim, there's something in between. And then you are allowed to sit on klayim, and that's why you should be allowed to send it on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Omer Rabbi Shimon Levi, Omer Rabbi Yosef Ben Shmuel, Omer Rabbi Mishim Kil Kadish B'Yishlayim. The first explained that these were certain Tanom. Why were they called Kil Kadish B'Yishlayim? Because these were very special people. They spent a third of the day learning, a third of the day davening, and a third of the day working. Somebody who lives his life that way is a Kila Kadisha. Afila esematzos gav zua gav zog. Even if you have 10 blankets, one on top of another, the klayim tachtayim, and under these 9 other blankets are klayim, or solution alayim. So how could you send klayim? What is it useful for? El bevilan. You can send it because you have drapery. Ask the Gemara, Vama Ulam Abneima Amravilan Tamei, why a drapery Tamei, Menesha Shamus, Bisham Kenegdoi? We know that the only thing that could become Tamei, discussed this many times, is something that's usable. Drapery is not usable to a person. So again, if the Vilain is Mekabel Tuma, why makes it usable? Because let's say somebody's cold, he could wrap himself in the drapery. So if he could wrap himself in the drapery, so we're back to where we started. You're not allowed to wrap yourself in klayim. Ela b'kashin. We're talking about klayim that was made out of felt, and they don't give off any heat. And since they don't give off any heat, you're allowed to use it even though it's klayim. V'kihad amar afuna b'reid Rav Yeshua. Hai nam tagam de narish. This is a type of felt material. Sharya. May be worn even though it's klayim because it doesn't give off any heat. And similarly, Amra Papa, Ardilim. Ardilim is like the insoles that they had on their shoes, Aimbam Shem Klaim. Even if they're made out of Klaim, there's no Isser. And the Rishonim give two explanations. One explanation is because it's a hard material, it's Kashim. And another material is because it doesn't give off any heat. Amra Papa, Hani Tsriri the Pshiti. These are like wallets or purses, Aimbam Shem Klaim, that are used for money. There is no Isser climb on it, because they're hard. And as we just said, a hard material, there is no it's a climb. The Bezrani used that, those that are used for seeds, yesh b'mshem climb. Why? Because they remain soft, and they give off heat. Rav Asher me'echetzev echetzev b'mshem climb, fishein derech b'chim mekach. Even though the ones used for seeds do remain somewhat soft, they're not used for a person to get warm, to protect them in heat and cold, and therefore there's no issur klayim. Just to mention two points, both l'halacha l'maisa. One is we speak about klayim, you're not allowed to sit on klayim. So the pais can discuss, let's say one has a couch. We don't have to worry what material the stuffing of the couch is made out of. Because since the stuffing of the couch is always covered with the covering of the couch. So let's say you have a leather couch, you know there's no problem with klayim on leather. You don't have to be worried what the stuffing of the couch is made out of. Where is there an issue? I think I might have mentioned this once. The Miches Yitzchak discusses why isn't there a concern of mattresses? Should we be concerned they're made out of klayim? Because the mattresses, when one lays down, so the mattress goes up and it covers you. So he says, I'm not saying anything, he says one should check his mattresses for shatness. He only says that if one comes to a hotel, even if he's a person that's machmer, that he only sleeps on a mattress that was checked for shatness, and this mattress he doesn't know, he could sleep on the mattress. He says, first of all, usually mattresses are not shatness. Usually the mattress is firm enough that it doesn't go above. But then I saw a gewaldige kasha from the stipler. The stipler asks, the Gemara says that something that's kashen, something that's hard, that's made out of felt, there's no problem with klayim, because it doesn't protect you from the heat or from the cold. So he asks, what would be if we have a material that's klayim, it's wool and linen, and it's kosher and it's felt, and you pick up a very hot pot. So now you don't want to hold a hot pot. So you take this material to put the pot on. So it is protecting you. So what's the Gemara saying that something that's made out of felt doesn't protect? It does protect. I gave you a perfect example as the stipler. So the stipler says a very bechiddush. He says we have to look at the main purpose of this material. If the main purpose of this material is to protect, not to protect you from heat, which is not, felt is not a material that's usually used as a garment, even though you'll be able to come up with a situation that it is protecting you, like you're holding the hot pot, there would still not be an issa klayim. And according to him, if you had a pot holder that was made out of wool and linen, it would be fine.